Now, for fear of getting an amen, I was going to say we could have just, Will Watkins, we could just shut the doors and wrap it up right at the end of that. Brother, that was fantastic and just such an encouragement to think about the words that Brother Mike shared at the supper. What a blessing. We're grateful for the opportunity today. As you can tell, do a few things a little bit differently today, but want to just start with some commonalities. Man, we have the most beautiful smiles in this church, I'm just saying. And we're so glad to have two of those smiles back with us. And we're so thankful. Streets, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. And, you would think, Dava, you might know something about dentistry. Man, what a smile. And then this smile, man, teachers that go the extra mile. I mean, I just got to give some serious shout outs to them. And I think she may even be back in the back teaching right now, but then, you know, continue on with our big head saga from CYC that we started last week. And, yeah, she slipped out of the room, didn't she? And then this, oh, the tail of the tooth. Lola's losing the teeth. Such a cutie. I like this special. And then this, man, what just, again, great news from this week. We celebrate with Layla and Nathan and their families and just the joy of growing in the Lord. And that's kind of what I want us to think about this morning, is this idea that healthy things are to grow. I mean, that's, we know that. If some of us have planted things from different times and they weren't healthy and it didn't grow. And some of us have things in our, you know, in lakes that aren't supposed to be there. Won't allow fish to grow. There are other things that happen in different places, and you know, if it's not healthy, the growth isn't occurring. I can remember a friend of mine named Jack Farber, a missionary in Latin America for many years, and I remember him pulling out a baby picture of his son, and he said, you know, it's cool to look at the baby picture of my son and to realize, hey, that's nice, that's wonderful, he's cute. But in 2 years, if you came back and my son was still the same size and looked exactly the same, you would kind of scratch your head and you'd go, well, something's not quite right about that. He's not supposed to be that size anymore. If you came back 5 more years later and he still looked the same, you would go, what's the condition he has? Because he's obviously not healthy, because this is not normal, because growth is not occurring. Because we know and understand healthy things are to grow. You think about those passages, you'll notice the two theme across there is that in Luke chapter 2 we find Jesus growing in wisdom and stature in favor with God and man. And we see that picture of growth that was present in his life. We go to the beginning of the book of Acts and we see the early church. We see the gospel being preached, the disciples carrying out the Great Commission to go and make disciples, and who make disciples, who make more disciples and carry the gospel to other places. And the church grew throughout the book of Acts. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, Peter writes to the church who has been the dispersed, or the diaspora that were there because of persecution, driven out of Jerusalem. Sometimes we have to be driven out of our comfort zone, don't we? Peter writes to them and he says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. You see, Peter understood that if you're going to grow, you've got to have the right diet spiritually. You've got to feed yourself with the Word of God. And we want to be a church that grows. And then as Paul would write to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, Paul writes these words to encourage Timothy to train people in growth. And he says this, he says, and whatever you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will also be able to teach others part of the growth process is where we, the word disciple is, yes, you want to make disciples, but you also helping people to follow in a greater, deeper way and entrust them so they can take the message, so they can do the work of God, because healthy things grow. We've spent the last several weeks in the book of Ephesians. And today there is a picture of what lies ahead when unity is achieved, when, as Paul has laid out the first three chapters, these great teachings of truth, these doctrinal foundations of God's grace and His mercy, of His faith in Him and to follow Him and to be united as one body. He gives us a picture of what lies ahead. And the first is in this thought, Ephesians 4 and verse 15. He says, rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body is joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. I want you to think about that first phrase, that we are to grow up. We're to grow up in every way. To think about the things that he's saying, it's beginning. One of the ways that the church grows up in our relationship with God is by sharing the word, is by speaking the truth in love. You see, Paul not only highlights the right message, he also says there's also a right manner in which we present God's word. That we lead God's people, we lead others to the Father through a right presentation. It's not just speaking truth, but it's speaking truth with the heart that Jesus would have spoken truth. It's carrying out the message of Christ with the very same heart of Christ for others and for the lost. And so we're challenged to grow up. What are we growing up into? We're growing up into, he says, into Him who is the head. We are growing up. We are the body, but we're wanting to take more and more of our identity in His likeness. The head is our likeness. That is the picture. That is who we are to be. But we're to take more and more of that identity into ourselves. Grow into our head who is Christ. Paul has been speaking to the division that was there in the church in Ephesus between the Jews and the Gentiles. And he says, look, there's one Lord and one faith and one baptism. There is one God and Father over all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And so we need to be one. There's one hope. There's one Lord. We are one. And so grow up into that unity. But not only do we see this idea throughout the life of the church that we're to grow up, we're also challenged to grow out. You see, there is a product, something happens when God's people do the work that God has called us to do. When we are experiencing the joys and the blessings, when we are sharing the Word of God, when we're more like Jesus, people are going to ask why. And as Peter would Christians to Christ in your heart as Lord, that's what he's saying. He's saying, grow up into the head, which is Christ. Let Him have your heart, have your life, have everything about you. Grow up into the head. Answer. Everyone who asks for a reason, for the hope that lies within you. There are going to be folks that look at that life and they're going to go, hey, that's different. Hey, why is his life joy and my life is not? Why is his marriage Jesus Christ is Lord and set apart as Lord in my heart? So be ready to answer. And so as you give an answer, The church then will grow. The gospel of Christ will spread. The kingdom of God will take over and conquer more and more ground. Grow out. You think about the early church again back in the book of Acts. The very beginning of the letter, Luke tells us that Jesus has given these words when he says to those followers, he says, you wait here and it'll be, I will tell you what to do. And he says, because you will receive power from the Holy Spirit when he's come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the end of the earth, or the uttermost parts of the world. He's saying, you're going to start here, but it doesn't stay here. And your faith may have started inside these walls, and it may have been grown inside these walls, and you may have learned more and more about the Lord and God's will and His way for your life in these walls, but it's not supposed to stay in these walls, inside this Jerusalem-type space. It's supposed to grow outward from this space. And we see that through the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 2, 42 and following. As the gospel was preached, the scripture says that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to breaking of bread and to prayers. And awe came upon every soul at the signs and wonders being done through the apostles. And all who believed had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to those who had need, and day by day attending the temple together, breaking bread in homes, they received their food with gladness of heart. And then he says this, that the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. We find about that growth in verse 41 because it says those who had received the word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. You see, it was growing out. The message was preached. It started with the 12 and the 180, the 120 that were there following the Lord, and it began to grow from that, and it became 3,000. And the message is preached, and it continued to grow from there. Acts chapter 5, verse 42, we see more of the growing out. When it says, every day in the temple, from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that Jesus was the Christ. Acts chapter 6, verse 1. These days the disciples were increasing in number. And when you increase in number, there are a lot of times challenges. And the early church had those challenges as well. And so they were increasing in number. There was a complaint that some of the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected. And the 12 summons, they had to address the challenge. We have grown here at Spring Meadows, and we are needing to address some of the challenges that now face us. And as we look at that, one of the things that as I was thinking about our message, sometimes we have a message and then an announcement, but I got to thinking about the fact that part of our message is, part of this message is in the announcements becomes part of illustration of the message. And one of the things that we kind of lose sight of in our time of worship is these little ones that are in class back in the back. And we kind of see moms and dads headed out, and we see families going here and there, and we kind of can miss the picture of what God is doing in this building, in the spaces that are behind us. But today we're going to hear from one of our shepherds about a possibility, about some directions in which we may continue to grow out. And before Mr. Chester comes up, I want you guys to help me teach Mr. Jerry's song that we sing. Do you remember where he says, if you forget to read your Bible and pray every day, you'll shrink. If you can you sing it? If you forget to read your Bible and pray every day, you'll shrink, shrink, shrink. If you forget to read your Bible and pray every day, you'll shrink, shrink, shrink. Shrink, shrink, shrink. Shrink, shrink, shrink. Forget to read your Bible and pray every day, you'll shrink, shrink, shrink. But if you read your Bible and pray every day, grow, 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 grow. If you read your Bible and pray every day, you'll grow. And so we're blessed, and we have seen lots of growth. And so Mr. Chester, on down and talk to us about, we've asked you to pray and to be prayerful about this, but we also want to invite these plans for you to partner with us, your thoughts, to hear your insights, and to see ways in which you might be involved in the growing out that is happening here at Spring Meadows.
Good morning, Spring Meadows.
Good morning.
I'm a little nervous to you to misunderstand. I don't want you to misconstrue. That's not nervousness. It's excitement. So as we go through this today, hopefully you'll understand why we're excited on behalf of the elders. And I want to read this to you so that I get the information right instead of going off the cuff. I don't want to misspeak or get anything wrong. So I'll read most of this announcement. As an eldership, we are aware that God continues to bless Spring Meadows, and we are a growing congregation. A growing congregation creates both opportunities and challenges, and we are working toward a solution to address the challenges of our current facilities. As we continue to grow, both spiritually and in number, and as we look to the future, it is essential that we are prepared to you about growth personally and congregation. And Spring Meadows continues to experience continued growth. We are growing out. We are getting larger. And you can tell on the screen, there is the last 4 years of our attendance. And as you can tell, there is a steady increase. There is 1 year you go, well, not 1 year. I understand that. That was partly during the transition and a few other things, but we were waiting. People were waiting to see what the transition would be as we were changing ministers. But there is the average attendance over the last 4 years. The elders believe this congregation will experience continued growth. However, we do not believe that the current facilities will provide adequate classroom and worship space. It is the desire of the elders to seek and save the lost, to positively influence and serve our community, to impact the kingdom as much as possible, while being the best stewards of the gifts God has blessed us with. Growing, the elders would like to share a proposal to the congregation. The elders would like to propose the construction of an additional facility. This morning, I'd like to share with you the options that have been discussed, and the elders are asking each family member to provide us with feedback regarding the construction of an additional building here on this property. Some people are going to see this as an obstacle. Some people are going to see it as an opportunity. I guess it's the glass half empty, glass half full. But a growing congregation, some people are going to view that differently. These are the things on the screen, some of the things that have been discussed. We want you to understand, and maybe we haven't, that's why we're we've considered two worship services. If we did that, that's only a band-aid. We don't ever want to be continually in two worship services. That's two different congregations. No matter how you cut it, it's two different congregations. We've considered a church plant. That's another congregation. And no matter, we may say we can imitate, we may replicate, duplicate this congregation, we can't. Spring Meadows is Spring Meadows. And it's with the original architect that did this building, and we have to expansion. This is the current facility. I know that may be hard for some of you to read. If you sat in the back, that's your fault. So, but you didn't know, did you? But I know that may be hard to read. We're going to share all this information with you, so if you can't, that's fine too. But as you can see, and you can look at one spot specifically, and you can see those four classrooms that are right behind that back wall. If we expand, that back wall will come out. That is a false wall. It's not load-bearing. So we will lose those four classrooms behind that wall to expand the congregate, to expand the worship area. And you can see what that looks like then after we do expand that. We want to share options with you. Option number one for expansion, you can read this, but the architect estimates the overall cost of 11,250 square foot HVAC, bathroom, septic connected infrastructure to be $2.25 million. That's $200 a square foot. If this option is chosen, again, we'd remove that back classrooms. And the estimate for removing that back wall option two, a roughly 6,000 square foot building, exact same thing. They will be located to the south. If this, again, we'd remove the back wall, and again, it's a $90,000 additional fee. And then we want you to also know that what if we do add on, they will connect back behind the kitchen area, and they will connect, the building will connect. And if you'll look, it says that it connects specifically to the building, but the new addition will be there, and then you see the existing facility, and you will understand where that goes. If we go with option two, there has to be a fire lane. There has to be enough room for a fire lane to be behind the facility. Information with you as well. This is just an example of one of the things that we have bid, or one of the buildings, what it would look like. Not exactly, but it is close. Just wanted to give you some of those visuals so you could see maybe what that facility would look like. So there's other options. As we mentioned, the new facility could be a worship area. We're not sure what is best. If it be a worship area, and we take this building and retro it to have classrooms. Say you want to go, and then again, we can do absolutely nothing. And I don't think that's the best choice for this congregation. So what are the next steps? Unless you have a better idea, we want to get some next steps from you. Some of those architectural drawings, if we decide we're moving forward, let the architect know that fee will be in the neighborhood of $60,000, the architectural drawings. That's another reason we want to know how you feel about this. The time frame, once we start, 9 to 10 month process, we can tell that's after we start. You know, there's going to be some time in between getting all this done and the actual time that they start construction. The next step is this. We're going to survey the congregation. You will be receiving an email, and we want your feedback. And it's fine if you're saying, absolutely not. That's what we want to know. We want to know how you feel about this. And that will be the next step before the elders make their final decision. It's not the intent of the elders to incur more debt than the congregation will support. Just as on Mission Sunday, the congregation will determine the option that is chosen. You are going to choose if and how much debt that we incur. The elders do believe Spring Meadows is in need of expansion, and the elders' preference is option number one. We feel like if we go with the 6,000 square foot building, it's not going to be long. That one's going to be full. So there again, that is your choice. You will have all this information. It is The other thing, I told you I needed to be sure and read this or I would get something wrong. So, this week, each member will receive a survey by email, which will allow you to share your viable ideas, opinions, thoughts, concerns, or your support for the expansion. You can share if you do not believe expansion is necessary or if you believe that it is. You will also be able to share if you will financially support the expansion above your regular contribution. That amount is not a pledge. And to help the elders in the decision-making process. Again, the elders do not want to incur any debt, and we do not want to incur debt that the congregation is not willing to assist with and not willing to support. Again, the elders desire your input. The elders want to be prepared for the opportunities God provides for the future. Spring Meadows is a healthy and growing congregation, and the elders want that to continue. I ask you this question. I know you speak with several people, you're in contact with those people, and I ask you this question. How many congregations of the Lord's church do you know that is steadily growing the way Spring Meadows is? We don't want to see that end. We want to see that continue. Earlier this morning, you heard Chuck say these words, now is the time. I think this morning, or in the future, the near future, is the time for us to do this expansion. You heard Mike say in his thoughts, as time moves on, he says we can either respond to it or we can do nothing. And Will, in the collection thoughts, said this, the plumb saw line. We don't want to be below the plumb saw line unless you are going to support that. Spring Meadows is truly a wonderful place, and it's our desire that this congregation continue to impact the kingdom, as did the church that Chuck's been talking about in the book of Acts.
Thank you, Chester. What do you think about it, Roman? I look around and I see our kids and I see our families, and as was mentioned by Tom earlier, we have the beginning of spring break month, and so several are on the road even, but man, this is such an exciting time to be here and to think about what it is that God has in store. You know, the last thought that I had was this idea of us just continuing to grow together. You see, the last part of that section in Ephesians 4, Paul uses that word grow again. And he says, we grow into the head, which is Christ, from whom the whole body is joined together and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. When each part is working properly. Now, we're going to talk about later, next week, the idea of us and our gifts and the parts of us that we look at, but we are the parts of the body. And he says, when the body grows together, so the body grows so that it may build itself up in love. One of the things I love about our leadership and our shepherds is their concern and their desire to know what your thoughts are. Their desire to even see, you know, from the experiences that you have and the experiences that are a part of your life, what do you bring to the table that makes this process happen? Or what do you see that may be that next option? But the theme throughout this process, as Ephesians 4 has said, is unity. And the vision that says the most important, the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. And Jesus came in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, it says, Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And our desire as a body of Christ here in this place is to be a fellowship that welcomes and that loves and that has space for those who are looking for the gospel and looking for the truth, and that they experience this love that Jesus has offered. And so it's God's design, as we're united in the mind of Christ, as we honor the one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one body, one spirit, one hope, one God, as we think about God's design for the church, we think about His heart for the opportunities that here, we think about that deeper and deeper unity and the opportunity for us to grow up into Christ likeness, for us to grow out into the world as we spread and expand the gospel's influence in this sphere, and as we grow together, that we'll all be equipped, we'll all be a part, serving together and building up one another in love. Thank you for being here today. Thank you for your attention. Thank you for your worship this morning. It's such a blessing to see you. And I want to close this time with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the day. We're thankful for the opportunities that we've been given. Father, most of all, we're grateful that you are a great God and that your love and mercy exceeds and abounds more and more than we can ask or imagine. Father, there are things in our lives and in our hearts this morning that we come with and we bring them to you. Father, that each and every person, Father, will know that you hear the cries of their hearts. Father, that you long to bless them. You long to strengthen them, and you will give them that comfort and the peace that they need. Father, we pray for your will to be done. We're grateful for this opportunity and so thankful for our eldership and the shepherds here that care for us, that invest so much time and effort and love and into this family. Father, we pray that you will help us to continue to pray for them and support them. And Father, we pray that as we look forward and as we think about the opportunities that lie ahead, that you will guide each step and that it will be for your glory. And Father, that your kingdom will grow in this place. Father, we thank you for the opportunity. We realize that our work is not what we do inside these walls. It's the lives that we live outside of these walls. It's the opportunities that we have to share with others, to impact and to let others know of your story in their lives. And Father, we praise you and thank you for your Son. We pray that you will help us to walk with him daily. And it's through his name that I pray. Amen.